question was asked if we could have a quick summary of Netilat Yadayim, the laws of when we wash our hands with a blessing and when we wash without a blessing, when we must wash with a vessel, etc. So let's begin with the prototype of washing one's hands, and that is when we want to eat bread. So when we're going to eat bread, it was instituted by Shlomo HaMelech in the time when we had kachim. Then it evolved, and basically the institution is a rabbinic institution that one must wash one's hands from a vessel. So we take a natla, a vessel that can hold water, some kind of cup, and we pour from that cup on our hands. It must be a vessel that can really hold water. You can't take this cracked vessel where everything is dripping out, etc. You have to take a vessel and pour from that vessel onto your hands. When we wash for food, so we wash twice on the right hand and then twice on the left hand. Really, the waters minimally have to reach the knuckle. We say the waters should reach the joint of the wrist. And this is going to be so for all forms of washing hands. So we wash twice the right hand and twice the left hand. And then when the hands are still wet, we make the blessing, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the world, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, that gave us sanctity through His mitzvos, B'tzivanu, and commanded us, Al Netilat Yadayim, about this concept of washing our hands with a natla, with a vessel that washes, that we use to wash our hands. Netilat Yadayim literally means the taking of the hands. That's not what it means. It means on the washing of the hands with a natla. Netilat Yadayim is a borrowed term, washing hands with a vessel called an atla. Yeah.
He said
according to the Gra, three times. Fine.
According to who it's three times,
Generally we say two is enough, according to the Gra, three. After we wash our hands and our hands are still wet, we make the blessing. And after we finish making the blessing, we dry our hands. So, of course, there are many details. There are a few simanim and Shulchan Aruch on this, and we're summarizing everything. I'm skipping certain details which I don't think are as relevant right now. So, if you want a more detailed view of these halachot, look it up. We had a whole class on it, an hour and a half, one Friday morning, going over all the halachot of Netilat Yadayim. In the halacha summary classes, you have that. But for now, for a quick overview, we'll have to suffice with the basic overview. So, one only need make a bracha on the washing of one's hands if one will eat the volume of an egg, that volume of bread. If you are going to eat less than that, then you wash your hands without a blessing. So therefore, it is advised that after one starts eating the bread, one should ensure that one eats the volume of an egg right away, lest one forget to eat that volume. So we wash our hands after you start eating. Try to eat it in the beginning of the meal. Don't assume you'll have room for it later. Eat it in the beginning so you don't forget, because if you end up eating less than the volume of an egg, so then in essence your blessing was for naught. You made a bachal avatala. The concept of a volume of an egg is that less than the volume of an egg does not transfer tum'ah. And this whole concept was because of tum'ah. They wanted us to be careful that our hands be pure. So they instituted a new concept that the hands alone can become defiled. Really, in halakha, we don't have such a concept biblically. Biblically, either the whole body is tahor or the whole body is tameh. Our sages wanted to ensure that our hands are really clean when we deal with food items that are holy. So our sages instituted this concept. It's really a rabbinic concept that the hands alone can become tameh. And they instituted that we have to wash our hands prior to eating tumah. And what remains of that is the institution to wash our hands prior to eating bread. And on Pesach night, we also wash our hands prior to eating vegetables that will be dipped in fluids. And we wash without a blessing. But when we're washing for the consumption of a volume of an egg of bread, we make the blessing on Netilat Yadayim. Let's say I'm going to eat the volume of three or four eggs of pizza. I'm going to eat some form of mezonos, regular mezonos. I'm going to sit down, I'm famished, I have no food, the Machon's dining room is shut, and I'm going to sit down and polish off three packs of wafers. Or I'm going to sit down and polish off half a bag of pretzels together with half a tub of hummus or tchina. So because I'm going to be eating the volume of three or four eggs, so I really, in essence, even though it is mezonos, because I'm going to be eating a large volume of this mezonos and this will be my main meal, I have to wash with a blessing and then make a hamotzi. Do I make a hamotzi? I don't remember. Hamotzi and benching.
Yeah.
So it says, if you're going to eat, if you're going to sit, that's going to be your meal, then then you have to make hamotzi and benching. Yeah.
So if you eat
what?
And if you end up not eating,
it has to be the volume that other people have it as a set meal, and we can't go into all the details here because this is the laws of Pata Bava Kisnim, which we could do, but we don't have time for that with this question. If you want the next question, we'll go into these laws of Pata Bava Kisnim.
Just to repeat what you said, so if you're going to eat 3 to 4 geitza of these hamotzi,
correct,
you have to say hamotzi, because that's your meal.
Correct. And you have to wash for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say an egg, is that a kazayit?
An egg. The minigin Yerushalayim is to assume that an egg is the volume of an egg. The minigin Yerushalayim is to go through Chaim Noah. When we say kazayis, we mean the volume of a zayis. When we say kibetza, we mean the volume of a beitza. An average egg, an average olive. An average olive before you quash it, before you make it small. An average olive is about this big.
So we're going
half the size of an egg. Half the volume of an egg.
So we're going with today's olive and today's egg.
Correct. That's the custom in Jerusalem. Obviously, there are two opinions, and where there's room to be stringent, you could be stringent, but how much is an egg? You don't know what an average egg looks like? We can't go into so many tangents. If you want in a minute, we'll go on to that. Let's first finish this, and then if you want, we'll get back to these other questions. So, back to our point. We said we're going to summarize the laws of Netilat Yadayim. So, if one is going to eat the volume of an egg, of bread, that's the classical case, one has to wash one's hands with water. Let's say one is on a camping trip, and you have water, you're by the beach, and of course it's a kosher beach, so if it's a non-kosher beach, you can't make blessings there. But of course, you happen to find a place where there's no one else around, and there's water, there's murky water there. So if you take the water in a vessel, what you're doing is you're washing with that water. You're not allowed to wash with filthy water. But if you dip your hands in the river, that's okay, even though the water is murky, because you're dipping your hands in the river. So you could dip your hands in the river 3 times. And here there's a discussion, do we make a blessing on Netilat Yadayim or on Tvilat Yadayim? Each one will ask their local Orthodox rabbi. Now, our sages instituted that when we awake in the morning, we wash our hands. And here there are 2 understandings why we wash our hands in the morning. Some say the reason we wash our hands is because we're starting the day, we're like a Kohen who comes to the service of his Creator, so too we are starting our day. By the same token, we have to wash our hands. According to the Rambam, we also wash our feet. And our sages instituted that in the morning, when we awaken, we wash our hands and make a blessing on that washing, al netilat yadayim. Now, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quote that from the Rambam, I don't remember. The Rambam says it. Don't remember. When you wake up in the morning, so wait, let's, we just started to touch on this. Let's just finish, and then if you still have questions, we'll try to deal with it. So just like a priest, a kohen wakes up in the morning, he's starting the service of Hashem, he has to wash his hands. We too wash our hands in the morning and we make a blessing. That's one understanding as to why our sages instituted a blessing. There's an alternate understanding that says when a person's sleeping at night, in their days people went to sleep without clothing, so under the covers a person touches all parts of sweaty, all types of sweaty body parts, and a person is going to touch his private parts, and naturally when he wakes up in the morning his hands are not clean. So our sages said, you're going to go pray, wash your hands aren't clean. If that is the understanding, then let's say one were to go to the bathroom before the mincha prayer, his hands are again not clean, he needs to wash them and then go pray mincha. So technically, according to that understanding, the Rosh's understanding, one would wash one's hands and make a blessing on that washing prior to mincha. We don't go with the Rosh technically. We say, like the Rashba, we say the main reason why we wash our hands in the morning is because we're starting the day in the service of our Creator. We do have to wash our hands prior to prayer and preferably wash them from a vessel. But that's a rabbinic institution in preparation for prayer without a blessing. So the only time we are making a blessing on the washing of our hands is in the morning after we woke up. And here there are different opinions. Some say, and I'm saying aside from bread, once aside from washing your hands for bread, the only time we are going to make a blessing on the washing of our hands is the washing in the morning. Now, the washing in the morning, there are different opinions as to when we make the blessing. Meaning, I wake up from sleep at night, I should wash my hands right away. And this goes on to another concept which has nothing to do with the blessing, but it is a concept in halacha. Our sages teach us, Bat Melechi. There is this spirit called Bat Melech, and she loves pouncing on people. And when we're sleeping at night, our neshama leaves us. So this spirit comes upon us. And when we awaken, so our holy neshama comes back in, and she has to leave this spirit. But she could hold on to our nails. Our nails, that's like a part of our body that's dead. The nails, the hair. For some reason, she could remain on our nails. And so our sages said, when we awaken in the morning, she's still lying there on our nails. And she won't leave unless you wash each hand three times. The Kabbalists taught us that it has to be three times an alternation, meaning right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. But that it doesn't say in the Gemara. The Gemara just says that this spirit doesn't leave unless you wash each hand three times. So we wash our hands when we wake up three times. But that's a different concept that goes hand in hand with what we discussed earlier. That is not why we make the blessing. That is why we wash our hands in the morning. That is one reason why. And our sages say that this bad spirit that's resting on our fingernails when we wake up in the morning, it's at the edge of our fingers. If we touch our eyes, our mouth, our ears, then it could re-enter the body and harm a person. Any aperture. And if we touch food or drink, then it harms the food or drink. So our sages said, be careful when you wake up, don't touch anything. First, wash your hands in the morning. First thing a person should do is wash their hands in the morning. For you, our naturalist will add an interesting point. The Kabbalists say that if a child is yellow, then you should make sure to wash him Negel Vasser and he'll be okay. And for some reason, there are a lot of parents that swear by this, that if they wash their child Negel Vasser when the child was 1 day old, 2 days old, 3 days old, the child was okay. I don't know, I'm just telling you, I figure that's up your alley. Yeah?
There is also the Navi, there is this thing about the Benazila Kedraim, and he says that if you can't resist, for example, like rubbing your eyes in the morning before washing the hands, you should use the outside of your hands so that the nails are facing away from you, to minimize the chance of re-entering of the spirit.
Okay, it's so better if you have to rub your eyes, so use the sleeve of your pajama.
Right.
Use a cloth. But one should not touch food, one should not touch any opening to one's own body or someone else's body. One should really wash his hands right away when he awakens. According to some, that is when you make the blessing on Netilat Yadayim. Others say no. In order to satisfy the Rosh's opinion, it is better that you make the blessing After you finish going to the bathroom and preparing everything, you're going to go to shul, then you wash your hands and make the blessing on netilat yadayim, because then you're also washing your hands technically in the morning, right? It's not the first washing, but it's still in the morning, and you're also satisfying the Rashi's opinion that it's preparation for prayer. And there are different opinions which way one should go. I say whatever is most practical for you. The only thing you have to remember is, if one has a very strong urge to go to the bathroom, one may not make a blessing. If one has something dirty in the room, there's a dirty diaper from a baby or something else, you cannot make a blessing. So that's where you would wash your hands right away when you woke up, but there can often be things that prevent us from making the blessing right away when we woke up. Such as, let's say a person has a strong urge to go to the bathroom. He can't make a blessing in such a state. Halachically, he may not make a blessing. So he should wash his hands, go to the bathroom, and then he'll set it. He'll have to go with other opinions. David, you wanted something? Okay, you'll see.
Yeah.
So, if it's not pertinent now, let's just hold on to people's focus and let's not go on tangents yet. Daniel?
I remember.
Yeah.
Melech, as in king, daughter of the king.
Right.
Bat Melech.
Correct.
Daughter of the king.
Correct. Yeah. So wait. So let's continue here. So people maintain their focus. Guys, if it's not directly pertinent, let's hold off with questions so we don't lose focus. Yeah.
We really have to believe in evil spirits.
So let's talk about that later, okay? The morning washing of the hands is with the kli. But, and we wash three times each hand, but we should do it alternatively. Right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. And we make the blessing prior to wiping the hands, because really the blessing should be prior to washing of the hands. That blessing you say in the morning after you've washed. You wash your hands, you woke up in the morning. You wash your hands, you make the blessing on netilat yadayim, and then dry your hands. When you get to shul, you don't say that blessing that's printed in the siddur. You fulfill that blessing in the morning. Now, we are more lenient when it comes to the washing hands of the morning, that we will accept water that would be disqualified for washing one's hands for a meal. We didn't go into all the details, but we would accept that for washing one's hands for the morning. Yeah. Wiping is important because the hands are really dirty when they're not wiped, and now that we're entering the winter months, medically it's important to dry your hands well, because otherwise the hands become chapped. The Gemara says, why do people have red chapped faces? Because they wash their faces and they don't dry them. So the same thing, our hands, we have to be careful. After we wash our hands, we should dry them for two reasons: medically and also halachically. A hand that is not dry is considered filthy. The prophet speaks about the Jewish people eating defiled bread, and he calls the bread tameh. From here we derive that anything that is uncouth, unsavory, can also be referred to as tameh. So hands that are undry, if you ever shake someone's hands after they wash their hands and they're not dry, doesn't feel too savory. So that's considered tameh. That's also called tameh. We want our hands to be tahor. We want them to be pure. So halachically we're supposed to dry our hands well, and also medically. Yeah? Yeah, we haven't finished yet. Yeah.
With relation to a washing of the hands, is it true that a lot of people, that you, after cutting your nails or cutting one's hair,
that's where we're getting. We're getting to that. That's the next stage.
Can you like assassinate somebody by waking up and not washing your hands and sticking your hand in their ear or something?
I wouldn't try it. Okay. Okay. So we said when we wake up in the morning, we have to wash our hands, and that's before we wash our hands, we shouldn't touch food or any aperture. Okay. Now, prior to every prayer, we're supposed to wash our hands with the vessel. You're going to daven mincha, you're supposed to go to the back, wash your hands with the vessel before mincha and dry them. And when you wash your hands, have in mind that you are fulfilling the rabbinic institution of washing your hands prior to prayer. And in fulfilling the rabbinic institution, you're fulfilling the biblical commandment to listen to the rabbis. So you're really fulfilling a biblical commandment. And every time before davening, you're supposed to go and wash your hands with water. If you went to the bathroom, so after you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands with water. If you did not go to the bathroom,
that
so you still
sense.
Should wash your hands with water. What?
That exempts you from having to wash your hands before prayer.
Depends on how soon it was. If it was directly before it, that's fine. Now,
how many times do you wash one time before
it? Yeah, that's enough. Our sages said it's better to do two though. Should do two really, when you wash your hands for prayer.
One, two. Not like one.
Right. Yeah.
For example, when I come back in Knesset, go to the toilet and wash my hands after the toilet, can I consider that also like in preparation to the prayer, or should I?
Sure.
Is wiping part of washing your hands before
blessing? Wiping is always considered part of washing the hands. That's why we make the blessing after washing before wiping. Really, we should make it before washing altogether.
There's no blessing.
Even when there's no blessing. But you see, the concept is that wiping the hands is considered an extension of washing them. Your hands are not completely clean until you've wiped them. You should try not to wipe your hands on your clothing, because our sages say that causes a person to be forgetful. Yeah?
If there's no water around, for example, if they're hiking in the desert or so, and you go to the restroom or the other space when we find it better, then we don't have water. And we can also wipe our hands.
Worst case scenario, you could clean them differently, but whenever you attain water, you should try to wash them. Try to get them clean, have fresh wipes. Do something.
Like over there, using sand or stuff like that?
Don't know what that is, sorry.
Sand.
So yeah, you could clean, but that's not the ideal. We're not going to tell you, don't make any blessings, don't. No. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it'll make you forget.
Thing Mara says, it causes one to forget things.
So many explanations for this stuff.
Sure, there's an explanation, but one thing at a time. First, we have to understand what it says. Later on, we'll try to get more depth. Okay, yeah.
Is there a
what?
Is there a measurement for how much water you should use?
Yes, you should use a revis. A revis is not a lot of water. It's about this much. No, total. Meaning what you could do, ordinarily it's not going to work, what you could do is ask someone else to pour the water for you, put your two hands one on top of the other, and someone else pours a revis. If you have a minimal amount of water, so we don't have time to go into it, but technically more than one person could wash his hands by putting one on top of the other. But we don't have time. Those are, listen
so
to the hour and a half class.
So
I hope we covered it there.
So at this point, in a certain water crisis, or let's say you want to reduce water costs, and in countries that there's not enough water, is there to be more, let's say, careful with the water when it comes to this irrigation? Let's say to use as little water as possible and to wash your.
It's
diet.
Always good to minimize the use of water. At the same time, a person has to be consistent in what he does. If it's the type of person that between the time that he puts soap on his hands and washes off the soap, he lets the water run. If it's a person that when he's putting soap on his body in the shower, he lets the water run. If it's the type of person that as he's looking for the toothpaste, he lets the water run, then I would think he should also use the water to wash his hands. If it's a person that first gets the soap in his hands and then with his elbow turns on the water so that he doesn't lose even a drop of water as he puts his hands under the faucet with soap, and he's the type of person that when he's taking a shower, he shuts off the water to put the soap on himself, and he's that person that everything he does consistently, he's always very frugal in conserving water. So then I think there might be room to conserve this way, but also just because he's especially careful in every other way, which he should be, I'm not sure that over here he should be so careful, because you see that the world waters their lawns today, and the world wastes water everywhere you go. So I don't. This isn't the waste. Chazal said that if a person, yeah, but I'm saying in principle. So this is something that's worth investing in. Meaning, a person should try to conserve in every way he can. But this is something where I don't think it's critical that he save this water. You're not talking about a guy that's cycling in the Sahara. You're talking about a guy in the Medinat Israel right now, where there isn't enough water. Yet at the same time, people are washing their cars and people are watering their lawns. So I don't think I have to skimp on washing my hands for prayer. I will skimp on washing myself in a shower. I will skimp on washing myself on the water when I wash my hands with soap. But in this, why? I mean, you see, the country is not at a state where we're at that level that we have to skimp. People don't think twice. I don't see people taking their drinking water and when they finish what they don't drink, pouring into their laundry. I don't see people saving water on the level that we should be saving, but we don't. So I don't see it. So if I don't see it, so then I don't think we have to be so skimpy in this area either. And it's worth remembering that Chazal said that people who do a full handful of washing their hands with water when they use water in a nice way, meaning that they use a nice amount of water to wash their hands, God will give them a nice amount of wealth. That's what the Gemara says. So people take this out of hand too. You see people filling whole cups and pour on one hand. Fill a whole cup, pour it on the other hand. That's a waste. That's not what Chazal meant. And I'm not sure if Chazal meant in our day and age where it's so easy to get water. Maybe they meant in their day and age where you had to draw more water. And the amount of water you're going to use for washing your hands, later on you're going to have to refill it from the well. So there, even so, you wash your hands with a nice amount of water, so it shows that you value our sages' institution. I'm not sure if they would say today where it's just an issue of wasting the country's water. I'm not sure. Now, Chazal say that in the morning, because we have the spirit on our hands, when we wash our hands, the spirit goes off into the waters. And as such, Chazal said that those waters should not be reused. You shouldn't even leave them lying around. So if you pour them into the sink, fine. If not, if you're pouring them into a tub or a bucket or something, so then spill out that bucket. That water should not be reused.
Not even for like the garden or something?
So, I don't know. Chazal said to put it in a vessel. You're saying maybe it should be poured from vessel into the garden. It said for animals you shouldn't give them, and you shouldn't derive benefit from it. So you're saying maybe you could put it in a garden. I don't know what would be the law of putting it in a garden. It says before a live animal you shouldn't give it, and you shouldn't leave it in a place where other people can encounter it. But if I'm watering my garden, I don't know. Let's put this way. I don't know. Wash your car or not. You're not supposed to leave it lying around. Meaning we say it's potential for harm, don't leave it lying around. But to water your garden, I don't know. It's a good question. It's a little strange because the Mishnah Brura says pour it out in a place where there's moist earth. Which seems to indicate he didn't say a garden. It seems to indicate that he's saying any life form that will have that water will be harmed by it. That's what it seems, but I'm not sure if that's a correct deal.
I think the manual says that then you shouldn't get the water you use for washing every morning. You should pour it away into a place that nobody and nothing can access it, like directly into the toilet, into the thing somewhere like.
Yeah.
Away as fast as possible.
What's my difficulty? The Shulchan Aruch uses a terminology, says don't derive any benefit from it.
Right.
The Mishnah Brura says therefore don't give it before your animal. So I say wait a second, but there could have been another example which is a lesser form benefit, which is the middle ground, it would seem to me, and that is pouring it by your plants. Mm-hmm. If I only had what the Shulchan Aruch said, then I would say you're right, you can't pour it on your garden. But now that I have the Mishnah Brura's edition, I'm not sure what would be the law of pouring it out by a garden. I don't know.
Could the verse of the moist earth mean also that because of the earth was already moist, meaning that the plant was already moist?
No. Afal Tichoach doesn't really mean moist earth. Afal Tichoach means earth that's ground up. I translated loosely. It means loose earth.
Mm.
But it seems to indicate earth that has nothing growing. Mm. Okay. Now, if a person sleeps by day, we're not sure whether the spirit comes anytime you sleep or not. So we say once you've slept a substantial amount, you've slept a half hour, so then wash your hands, of course, without a blessing. There are other things that our sages said one must wash one's hands for. And these are things that our sages said some kind of spirit rests on one's hand. after he does the following things. What are these things? So our sages said that after one, we said, wakes up in the morning, after one leaves the restroom, you go to a bathroom, you have to wash your hands. And here it's unclear whether our restrooms are as obligatory as their restrooms. Their restrooms, that's what Chazal said, even if you didn't use the restroom, you just walked in, you have to wash your hands. Our restrooms are much cleaner than their restrooms were, and we're not sure if it has the same din, so we're more stringent. We say you should wash your hands. Once you come out, you should wash your hands. A person that comes out of the shower room, and again, it's unclear what our shower rooms are. Their shower rooms were filthy and disgusting. Their bathhouses. A person who cuts his nails. A person who takes off his shoes. And here it seems that only if you've touched your shoes, right? That this is a concept of cleanliness. The previous ones were a bad spirit. This, it seems, is an issue of just getting his hands dirty. A person who touches his feet. Now, socks is not a problem. Shoes or feet, but not socks. Now, if you walk around in your socks around the house, so then your socks might end up having the laws of your shoes, because they're as filthy as your shoes. But I'm talking from experience. Like, I walk around in socks all the time, so the socks get pretty filthy. But if you're like the average person that wears slippers or shoes or else walks barefoot, so then socks is not a problem, provided you didn't touch your feet. Yeah?
I saw people coming from the mikveh and
correct. That's because the mikveh is considered a bathhouse. When you come out of a mikveh, you have to wash your hands, even though the mikveh purified you, but you're in essence coming out of a bathhouse. So even though you just toiveled, you just went to the mikveh, but you have to wash your hands. Now, the same thing would be true if you're putting on shoes, right? Okay. Now, if you're in a shoe store where there are brand new shoes, so you don't have to wash your hands because the shoes aren't dirty, right? Okay.
Unless somebody already checked them out.
Even so, they're selling you shoes. I hope they're selling you clean shoes. Yeah.
Cutting nails, is that the evil spirit?
We'll get there in a second. Yeah. Cutting nails is, yeah. If one scratches one's head, that's why if you want to scratch your skull, do it with a kippah. Don't touch your head directly because then you have to wash your hands. You can't stop your learning every 2 minutes to wash your hands, so you could rub your hands on the table to clean them. If you go to a graveyard, if you go to a cemetery, if you touch a dead, if you're near the dead, if you take lice out of your clothing, when a husband and wife are together, so then afterwards they have to wash their hands. So that then it's a good idea to have near the bed. You don't want to get up in the middle of the night and go wash your hands. A person who touches a lice.
But then
you have to
refill for the morning.
We didn't say you have to wash near the bed. I didn't say that.
But there are some water.
Right, but I didn't go into that. If a person touches a covered part of his body, a place where there's sweat, meaning ordinarily we assume that if you touch behind your collar, there's sweat. You touch up above where the sleeves cover, it's a little bit sweaty. So any place that you touch a covered part of the body where there's ordinarily sweat, so you say your hands got a little bit dirty, you have to wash it. Chazal also warned us that the sweat from our body is something that's very unhealthy for a person to consume, so you have to be careful to get it off your hands, you shouldn't end up eating it. I mean, if you touch your armpit and then you go and take a loaf of bread, so a little bit is going to be on that bread. So aside from the fact that it's unsavory, it's not a nice way to behave, but it's also not healthy, yeah.
Can you say which ones are cleanliness and which ones are...
We'll get to that. In the end, we'll go back and review them.
These questions are how many things?
Oh, we'll get to that too. Now, any one of these things that we just enumerated, coming out of bed, coming out of the bathroom, out of the bathhouse, cutting the nails, taking off shoes, touching the feet, rubbing the head, scratching the head, being with one's wife, touching lice, touching covered part of the body. If one does not wash one's hands, so our sages said that it causes him to lose his knowledge, meaning he's not going to be as intelligent, to lose some of his learning. It's going to affect his knowledge. Chazal said, one who lets blood. If he has to wash his hands, and here some say that donating blood to not like letting blood. There are different opinions as to whether donating blood requires washing one's hands, because letting blood was done one way. Donating blood, it's really going through a pipe, it's really going into its own bag, it's never going into the world, it's never going into the airspace, that blood that they let. But if one can, one should wash one's hands. And the same thing is when one gets a haircut or one shaves, one should wash one's hands. Chazal said, one who lets blood and does not wash one's hands will feel some kind of internal fear for 7 days and he won't know what it is. One who shaves and doesn't wash one's hands afterwards will feel this internal fear for 3 days and won't know where it's coming from. And one who cuts one's nails and doesn't wash his hands will feel it for 1 day. So one should wash one's hands. Now, in general, when do we have to wash our hands 3 times and when do we have to wash them once? So whenever it has to do with a bad spirit, so then it would seem like you have to wash 3 times. Some say 3, some say only 1. That's unclear how many times you have to wash them. When it has to do with cleanliness, so washing them once is enough. If you're coming out of the bathroom, so then it would seem you have to wash 3 times. All the other times, it doesn't seem like you have to wash 3 times. But it's unclear. All the other ones you could be lenient on. Waking up in the morning and coming out of the bathroom, there's more of an issue of washing 3 times. Waking up in the morning, we just said, I mean, that's where the Gemara says, Bat Melechi. But let's say you get up in the afternoon or something like that. So then it's unclear. The other ones, it seems pretty clear that it's enough 1 time.
So you never mentioned 2.
Right. 2 is just for bread. Yeah?
With the
Kli.
I heard that after the bathroom, you're not going to use
it. I don't know. It says that the washing of the morning has to be with the Kli. You're saying the. Right, so you're right. After going to the bathroom, so technically you don't need a Kli, but there are those that say it's good to do it with the Kli. Meaning, it's unclear that you really need a Kli. But there is an opinion that says you should. You don't really need a Kli. That's true. After going to the bathroom, you do not need a Kli. Right. And all the things that have to do with cleanliness, so it's just an issue of washing your hands, so it doesn't matter how you wash them. Right? Touching your shoes. Who cares how you wash your hands afterwards? You don't need a Kli. Scratching your head. Touching a covered part of the body. That's all issues of cleanliness. Yeah? So some say that opening and closing the tap, the Kli isn't the issue as much as that it has to be koach gavra, it has to be a human force. So some say that it makes sense that when you turn on the tap, the first rush of water that comes out is considered an extension of your force. Afterwards, it just keeps running. So when you open and close the tap, each time you open it is considered like it was a human force that...
And then replaces it.
And they want to say that the tap will be considered a Kli. Yeah. That's what they want to say.
And for Netilat Yadayim before praying, do you need to use a Kli or not?
Yes, before praying, Chazal Institute, you should wash your hands with the Kli.
And that could be replaced with the open.
What?
And that could be replaced with the open.
Yes, it would seem that that's enough to open and close the tap. Correct. But if you have a Kli, I wouldn't rely on that. If a Kli is easily accessible, so then why not? When coming out of the graveyard, the custom is to use a Kli. When you come back from the graveyard, the custom is not to go into a home without having washed one's hands with a vessel.
You mean after a graveyard?
After a graveyard. Yeah.
Sorry, Rabbi, 2 questions. As far as waking up in the morning, I'll
be good. What?
As far as not waking up in the morning and saying, I'll let you
die. Yeah, I'm sorry, at my age, you got to talk louder.
I'm sorry. As far as waking up in the morning, am I accidentally helping? As far as when you're waking up early in the morning and saying Elohim Elohim, I believe according to the Halakha that there's a certain distance that you shouldn't walk, that so you should have a member of us or a Matila next to your bed.
Okay.
I don't know. Or in the same room. I mean, people say that are leaving the bar, say,
Okay. That's what your Rebbeim taught you, so that's what you should do.
And also I wanted to ask you about washing your hands. I've been many a time where I've had to wash my hands in the toilet for bread. Now I know you just entered the toilet. Does the washing for bread count as?
So one is not supposed to wash one's hands in the toilet room. Because as you just mentioned, when you enter a toilet room, you really have to wash your hands all over again because you were there.
Right.
So the way you should really get around it, you shouldn't do it. It's not right to wash your hands in the toilet room.
Right.
So if it's like Machon Meir, where each stall has the door that closes it, so they're in their area and you're in your area. If it's like Machon Meir upstairs, where it's completely its own room, fine. All you have to ensure is that the doors are closed, and that there is no bad smell when you make the blessing. So walk out and make the blessing.
I heard it throughout the Pesach.
Don't know. The Tzurat HaPetach is what?
Does it have to be closed or not?
I think it should be closed. I mean, we're going into a different sugya, but as far as my understanding is, it should be closed, yes. The door should be closed. Now, when you're flying on a plane, so that's where the issue usually comes up, where the only place you can wash your hands is in the bathroom. So what I recommend you do is get a bottle of water. They're usually in the plane, they have big bottles of water, and when they finish them up, so the stewardesses are happy to give them to you. Fill that up in the bathroom and take it back to your seat. Now, what I always try to do is, on my way to the plane, I go to the duty free and I tell them, look, I need a bag. Tell me how much a bag will cost. I need one of your bags. There, they have really strong plastic bags in the duty free, because they sell you heavy duty stuff there.
Sure.
So I always ask them, the biggest bag you have, tell me how much it'll cost. And sometimes they charge me a shekel, and sometimes they give it to me for free. And then that bag is a really, really good bag to wash your hands in on the plane. So you can wash your hands in that. If you didn't get to do that when you got to the plane, so then what you could do is ask the stewardesses for another blanket. And then the blankets that they have are very absorbent. And then under your seat, where no one looks, pour a little bit of water on each hand. Remember, you don't need that much water to wash your hands. And pour it into the blanket, and the blanket will soak it up. And anyways, they take all these blankets and throw them into the washing machine. They clean them anyways. So it doesn't really matter. But don't do it without a blanket. Meaning some guys will say, I'll wash it on the floor, what do I care? The problem, why should you care? Because all the water will drip down the carpet to the guy behind you who's sitting there without his shoes. And when he puts his feet down on your water, so he won't bless you too much. So in general, for the aspect of Chil Hashem, it's much better to do it in a bag and under your seat where no one has to see it.
The bag
is to absorb the water. Pour the water into the bag.
Okay.
Wipes are not washing your hands. No. Wipes are not good enough. Now, if worst case scenario, you're flying to Uzbekistan, and the plane, they're not going to let you wash your hands, and for some reason you don't have water, all you have is, I don't know what. You don't have anything to drink, and you're dying of hunger, you really want to eat. So what you could do is put gloves, put your hands in a bag, and then you're not touching the food technically, and then you eat the food, but that's a big b'dieved. Chatchila, we don't do that. It's much better to do it the other way. To find a way to wash your hands. If you could get to the stewardess's sink and do it in the stewardess's sink, not in the bathroom, that's good. If not, then do it under your seat. I see no reason why people will take this leniency of washing in a bathroom. Worst case scenario, if you're in an instance where you must wash your hands in the bathroom and there's no way out of it, so then they say in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein that you could wash your hands in the bathroom and not dry them, and then come out of the bathroom and dry them. I don't know if this has been validated that he really said it, but in worst case scenario, I guess you could rely on that and make a blessing outside the bathroom before drying your hands, of course, assuming that the bathroom door is closed and there's no bad smell, etc., like we discussed earlier. Yeah?
Regarding this, what's your name? Rav Sperling said, technically also, regarding this, entering the toilet, according to Rav Hankins, today it's very common that you have, say you have one room where there's also a shower and where it is used for many purposes, not just, so it's not per se a toilet. I don't think this is a non-restriction. So if you come in and go out, you don't have an obligation to walk.
Don't know. I don't know. But if that's what Rav Sperling said, so fine. What do you need me for? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think there is a tshuva in Negros Moshe also that discusses it. I don't remember what he says. I think it's discussed Negros Moshe as well. Okay, so let's recap. What did we see today about washing our hands? We saw that, yeah.
Water that was drunk from?
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, it may. Correct.
And what else do you use for washing hands other than water?
One second. Let's recap what we did until here. And then that I don't want to go into today. It involves too many details. So we have to, right now we'll have to leave that. We said, the prototype for washing hands is washing one's hands for bread. If one is going to eat the volume of an egg of bread, one should make a blessing on washing one's hands for the bread. We wash our hands twice the right hand, twice the left hand, make the blessing, dry our hands, eat the bread. We discussed that if you are going to eat mezonot, classically, you're going to eat a bag of pretzels together with hummus. If you're going to eat the volume of three or four eggs, that constitutes a meal, even out of mezonot, and one would have to wash one's hands, and one has to make a blessing of amotzi and berkat amazon. Then, we went on to discuss that we have netilat yadayim in the morning. We discussed the Rosh and the Rashba, that there are two understandings as to why our sages instituted washing our hands in the morning. Either like the Rashba says, like Kohanim, who begin their service of the day, or like the Rosh says, because our hands are unclean at night, we touch ourselves, and we are coming in preparation for the prayer, we wash our hands. We said either way, we make a blessing in the morning, either directly when we wake up when we wash our hands, or the washing that is directly prior to going to pray. We said that there's another aspect to washing our hands in the morning, and that is that we have this bad spirit that comes on our hands, and when we wash our hands three times each hand, alternatively, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, that spirit leaves. Prior to the washing of our hands in the morning, we are not supposed to touch any opening to our body, we are not supposed to touch any food items. Because of this spirit, we said that the water after washing our hands should be removed. We don't use that water. Either we flush it down the sink or something else. We said that after we wash our hands in the morning, again, we make the blessing and then dry our hands. And then we said that there are other things that our sages said require that we wash our hands. And then we enumerated them. We said, sleeping by day, it is unclear whether it requires washing our hands. But we do. One who comes out of a bathroom, one who comes out of a bathhouse, one who cuts one's nails, one who takes off or puts on one's shoes, one who touches one's feet, one who scratches one's head, one who goes in a graveyard or touches the dead, one who removes lice from clothing, one who is with one's wife in a marital way, one who touches a lice, one who touches his hand where it is covered, one who lets blood, one who shaves or takes a haircut, and this people very often forget. You should remember, after you shave, take your haircut. One who cuts one's nails, we mentioned earlier. And we said that some of these are an issue of cleanliness, in which case it's not so important how you wash your hands, but rather that you wash them. And some of these are an issue of a bad spirit, and then one would have to wash one's hands with a vessel, probably, and probably three times. This is unclear whether you need once or three times. It is unclear in halacha regarding the things that have to do with a bad spirit. And it is unclear in halacha which ones exactly have to do with a bad spirit. That's also some we know and some we don't. We said that the only time we will make a blessing on washing our hands is the washing in the morning and the washing for bread. Any questions still here? We mentioned in passing that the water has to be clean water, and we said that if you're by a riverbank where the water is murky, then it is better that you dip your hands in the river three times, because if you take out that water in a vessel and what you're going to do is wash from it in a vessel, so that that water is disqualified from washing in a vessel. We also said that if one is in an instance where one does not have a lot of water, one can have someone else pour it and put both ends one on top of the other, and a revis would be enough. We said that on an airplane or in other instances, one should figure out a way to wash one's hands outside of the bathroom. Worst case scenario, one can use gloves or some other way of handling the food. Or, worst case scenario, we said if really there's really no other way and one must eat bread, so then we said that one, there, it seems, they quote in the name of Rav Moshe, that one would be able to wash one's hands in the bathroom and make the blessing outside the bathroom and then dry them.